Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
What defines the boomer?
The boomer is the 19. I've heard several things, but it's usually 1946 to 1964. Because they have to come back from the war, have sex, and have a baby. So that starts 1946 because you're adding.
Have you ever experienced anything that one might describe as supernatural in the Nikki Diamond world? I'm just kind of curious about that.
Well, Merle can tell you about my supernatural abilities, if you know what I'm talking about.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Right out of the gate, I have to say, look at you. Why are you wearing school clothes today? Why are you not wearing your pajamas today?
I got a new shirt for Christmas, and I'm going to Richmond today to pick up my daughter for the weekend.
You decided to just up the game a little bit?
Yeah, and I'll be having lunch there. And so I said, you know what? Put on a shirt with a collar. It doesn't always have to have a hood.
You look good in it.
Thank you.
It looks fine. Does it, Dahlia, what do you think? You think it looks good?
I think it looks schmancy. I walked in, I was like, whole new podcast village.
Dahlia is sitting in for Oscar Santana.
I thought it was just that Oscar's cold had gotten worse.
Well, I think Oscar has the flu. Right. He said he had a fever. I was talking furniture with him yesterday, texting furniture with him.
Oscar has a fever.
A fever? Yeah. Now you're saying with the quotation marks?
Like, no, I'm kidding. I'm sure he's sick.
It's like he lives in Georgetown. We could take a field trip, check on the actual state of his
health. No, we did that once and we realized Pony didn't know where he lived.
Yep, that was one of the many things that we did with Oscar. You never know. But I really do think he was here for two shows yesterday when he should have been here for one. And
zero, because he looked like crap yesterday. I know he's sick. True. He is absolutely sick.
And he screwed the timing up of the second show. But that's okay. You know, I mean, that happens occasionally. And Dahlia was coming in anyway today. And I don't know what accounts for popularity. I know I like certain interns more than other interns. I like Dahlia from the minute she came in. She got it and she brought it. And that was true. But the listeners.
Yes.
Oh, my. The listeners.
Yes.
You know, quite a fondness for young Dahlia over here. And then the key for her her meteoric rise on the Mike O'Mara
show. Was it meteoric?
It was meteoric.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Was the Lebanon story. She regaled us with tales of her family in Lebanon and her
little
her
Jerry Lewis there.
Lebanon sling and fling. And her hairy father and sweaty father. It was magnificent. And I remembered that. And, you know, you haven't been to Lebanon since you've been on the show, have you?
No, I have not. Okay. It's a very saturated trip. I don't think you can go more than once a year and
I think
really
that would
survive
be,
it in your entirety.
Yeah, but it was family and you enjoyed it, right?
Very
you enjoyed
much so.
The experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So Dahlia will be hanging out with us today. We've got a lot going on the Mike O'Mara show. Now, for those of you that wanted to check in on Pauly Christine and the controversy, because Oscar, who is really the chief inquisitor in charge, the assistant DA.
Right.
I'm the DA when it comes to this stuff, but I'm an impartial. I'm not impartial because I am fond of Pauly Christine, and I also probably have read more about a certain culture in New York City than anybody else, so I might be afeared of him a little bit, you know. Yeah, it was a big day. Yeah.
Well, you know why he can't join us today?
No, I don't. I don't.
Hey, I'm taking my defensive driving course.
Oh, for the bus driver thing.
Exactly. I think it's a yearly
thing. All right. By the way, for those of you who thought moving my location would result in better transportation, bus transportation for my son.
Yeah, you were actually, now to be fair, I don't know if it was on the regular or the bonus yesterday, you had a certain note of optimism about it.
Yeah, screw that.
It's gone?
25 minutes this morning. 25 minutes, and then a completely different bus, empty, without students on it. So I don't know what the hell's going on.
Are you sure it was owned by the county, or is just a guy out cruising around?
You know, all I know is there's one kid that goes to a school, an older kid, and he doesn't speak. He literally doesn't look at us. He turns towards where the bus is coming from, and we've got his back. And then his dad drops him off. And sometimes his dad, like the other day, his dad just sat in the parking lot kind of looking over.
Yeah, like we mentioned maybe, this guy sort of like almost like he was watching a safe house or something.
Yeah,
watching
like maybe from a distance. I was starring in Stephen King's The Outsider that I was sitting there. It just didn't. And then today he picked him up and I said, hello. He's like, hey. And then he swung back around right after Carla had called me. I said, my wife just told me the bus is going to be 10 minutes late. Nothing. And then he swings back around, and you hear him go, and the kid goes, and they hop in, and they go off to school. I guess he was getting driven to school that day.
I see.
And so it's back to where it was, and I'll keep you posted on that. But
is there any way you could break the ice with the kid? Like, hey, how about a hug?
No, I've already greeted both kids. The kid that goes to the one school and the kid that goes to the other school, that ship has sailed. I'm not
done.
Engaging
just
any further.
Done. Okay.
There's no need for that. And that comes down to, that's a kid. He's sleepy and it's early in the morning. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on that particular
That's
situation.
Awfully good of you because you know what? He owes you a little bit just because you're a grown up.
Why does he owe me? Oh, yeah. We need the respect.
Yes. That's bad that parenting right there. It doesn't, you can be sleepy and still make eye contact.
This is true. This is true.
And you know what? I could give you a laundry list of the things of my kids that are bad and wrong and not great. But they've always been engaged and respectful when they meet a grown-up.
Well, here it is. I think that they both spoke to me one night when I spoke to them. But that's it. I said, good morning. And he turns around and goes, good morning. And then he turns back around. And then, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Okay.
When daddy came
of
by.
Course.
So,
well, yeah.
So really, if you want to add it up, that was the morning. Trey shitty. That's the way I would describe the morning today. Just not my cup of tea. I need my 20 extra minutes. I can handle 5. I can even handle 10. When you are boning me for 25 minutes,
that's
all right?
A lot.
And that's 20 minutes that on a day like this and, working in the echo chamber down here, it's very, very frustrating. Now, on to the echo chamber. So
yes.
I am planning and talking with Oscar about moving the studio.
Okay.
So Oscar and I go back and forth on the furniture, right? And I'm bringing the behind-the-scenes activity to the forefront because it's top of mind.
And you really should just briefly set the table in case someone has missed a couple episodes.
We moved. We're in another house. I have left one room furnished, if you want to call it furnished. It really isn't. It's where I do the studio. That is why it seems so empty. Well, why don't you put up acoustics? Because I'm leaving this place shortly. You understand? I'm leaving this place shortly. So what it is...
There are certain recording studios that have worked for years to achieve that kind of acoustic quality.
I understand that.
I don't mind it. I love it.
You know I go from rags to riches.
Yeah!
That is actually beautiful. Yeah. I like this.
Thank you, Dahlia. See?
Yeah. See?
How can you not love this kid? You know, she's like
you
a
gotta
ray
love her.
Of effing sunshine when she comes into the studio. So getting back to the thing. So I'm moving to the other house where I'm going to have the studio like I have in this house.
Right.
And Oscar and I have been going back and forth. It seems that when it comes down to this broadcast piece of furniture where I'm going to put all the soundboards and all the audio equipment.
Essentially a console.
And all the monitors.
Yes.
It's really, I look like he looked. It comes down to one piece.
Yep.
That's really what that OptiDry or whatever hell that thing is.
The OptiGrab.
So Oscar sent me the thing and I said, let me do a deep dive. Let me tell you why. Because he sent it and the shipping date on the thing is February 15th.
Now, month
explain away. To me why you have to wait a month to get something to
Is
me.
Is it a new piece of furniture?
I don't know.
No, here's why. Because you know what? I have a background in furniture.
All right.
And a lot of times, furniture is not built until it's bought. Because
this
is
everywhere, Rob. It's at Guitar Center. It's even at Walmart. This place, this company has a corner on the home studio
desk. It's always this company then.
It seems like.
Okay.
And so my thing to Oscar, maybe you could pass it along for me, will be,
right.
I love what he picked out. I want to use that, but I want him to, come on.
Expedite
I know.
It, yes.
By the way, I think we may be getting it used, though, because it was a sizable discount but then when you throw shipping in, It's expensive, but it's perfect for the room.
Well, if it's perfect, it's what you should. I mean, you really, even if it's a matter of a couple bucks, you should have what's perfect. Don't.
Well, I'm ready to do it. I want to do it now. And when Oscar said February 15th, I don't know whether I'm going to even be able to be in here. And I don't want to do it on a plastic table or anything like that. I'd like to get a go, but it's nice. And
it's the one we looked at yesterday, right?
It's the one we looked at
yesterday. It's beautiful.
With a different finish on. No, maybe the same finish.
And
maybe
it is ideal. Finish. That's the thing about it, is flipping ideal for what you need.
Yeah, let me see here. I'm going to enlist our legions of supporters that know this thing.
It's a beautiful console, Dahlia, with two sort of towers, small towers on the side for rack mounting, okay. Lots of table space, room for multiple guests if he wanted multiple guests. And it also has a keyboard drawer for hiding papers.
This is a different one.
Mm-hmm, I like
this. This is a different one. Wait, but this is different.
What's the company?
M Gear.
Oh, them. I've heard of them, actually.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, this is totally different.
It's totally different. Extra crazy.
And then it says right there, estimated ship date, February 16th.
But it's brand new.
It's a different
piece. Because I think the one we looked at yesterday might have been used, and if it's used, I bet we could get it faster.
All right.
Because,
well,
you know,
you look at both of them, and let's get it done.
Because I think the one advantage, practicality speaking, with a used one is if someone is selling used, they want to get rid of it. They want it out of there. So they're not going to delay shipping.
All right. But it's very nice. It's very lovely. Very lovely desk. And we'll see what happens with that. I'm not sure. I didn't realize it was that one. So I spent the whole night last night and early this morning looking at the wrong piece of a furniture. That's why I don't sweat the details. That's why people do this, because I F it up. I F it up every time.
And you're also going to need probably at least one task chair, won't you?
Well, no, I'm sitting in a task
chair.
No,
but I'm talking about should you have a guest.
Well, that's I could do that anywhere. I mean, you're not picky on the chairs.
No,
right?
Not at all. Really, but I'm just trying to think ahead.
All right. So that's it. We're up to date on everything, and we'll see what happens with that. But, all in all, just kind of an unsettled morning.
I hate I hate the fact that we really sort of checked the box that the bus situation had gotten better, and now it's back to being bad.
Yeah. And it just, I'm ready for, let's just say, outside of the world of golf, I am looking for a W in 2020.
Okay.
I'm looking for one in the win column.
All
just
right.
One. I just need one. Just a small victory would be. And some might say, well, you have a great life down here. Yes, I do. And some might say that is good. And for those of you that are interested in any way, shape, or form in the game of golf,
yes.
I would like to announce that I am now an 8 handicap golfer. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Now,
I'm very proud of that. Very, very proud.
I've watched the game. I've never played it. That means that essentially you shoot eight over par.
An eight.
That's excellent. Yeah. That's a lot of eagles.
You have a rolling average that lots of factors. The difficulty of the golf course and everything else is all.
But eight is very good.
But it's something to be proud of at my advanced age. I'm very
ten
very
is sort of the line of demarcation, right? When you're under 10.
Yeah, well, and then the vast majority of people that play the game aren't even anywhere near that.
Right.
So it's very, very special.
Is that why everyone in the neighborhood is now calling you shooter?
No. I'm still not in the elite. I never will be.
I never will be in the elite.
Yeah, but I realize what it is. You see, I've only effed off for the last 5 years.
I see.
A lot of these guys have been effing off for 20 and 30 years.
And their parents effed off years before them.
They came from probably a family of F-offers. And that's exactly what happens. And when you come from that, you're out there all the time. What are
Bob
you doing?
Bob and Maria F offer?
Right.
That's the parents.
Bob the insurance salesman,
yes.
And Bob's out there. Where's Bob? We need to get to find out if we're going to get that claim in today. Bob will get back to you. Bob will get back. And Bob's on the 17th hole.
Yeah.
Lining up his putt. That's what he's doing. That's why. And Bob's 31 years old.
Yeah.
Bob has begun his lifetime of effing off.
Meanwhile, Marie's at home rinsing out the ice bucket, getting ready for cocktail hour.
Exactly. And that's Marie's job. Marie's job is to make sure that the vodka is in the freezer chilled and that the ice is plentiful. That's what it is.
Bob and Marie, lifetime of offers.
And by the way, for those of you that are out there, I will say this. At this stage in the game for me, coming in here and doing this show, and also having a six-year-old at my advanced age.
Right on.
It is a sense of purpose that I truly dig. That is why I love it. So if I sound like I'm wistful when I'm talking about these guys that, maybe some of them hit even the 60-year mark and they decide to just chuck it all.
Right.
I kind of think I got it on them. Because I love having the purpose of coming in here and having a job where I can do it. If I was greeting at Walmart every day, I might like it, but I probably wouldn't. You know,
they've up to their first 60 years, they might have effed off a lot, but they hated their job. You never hated your job.
Well, I'm trying to think. Where did I? Okay, so with the new house, we were at a furniture store the other day.
Yes.
And Carla and I have gotten into a space now where we cut people a lot more slack down here because of the locusts that have traveled down here from everywhere.
So the
all
locals,
of the old people.
You give the locals a little extra rope. Because
I completely
what
do.
They
because they are overwhelmed with this generation of mine. The, you know, hey boomer or okay boomer.
Yeah.
All right. This generation of mine, I never dreamed we would be in the land of suck.
Oh, no.
Like we are. We are.
You're lucky not only by having a kid, but because Carla is a couple years younger than you. I think she keeps you grounded in a way that many of your contemporaries are not.
Well, it annoys me and I observe it. But I'm more chill on it now. You know, I'll talk about Florida a lot later in the show because there was a parent-teacher conference, and it's the land of chill down here, which I love. It's why I love it down here, and I love the younger people down here. But yesterday, for example, we go to Mel's Diner, a fine gourmet establishment. Mel's. We go to Mel's.
Was your tux back from the cleaners already?
It was my dinner jacket. And a waitress, in a perky way, across the booth across from us, says, okay, you guys have a wonderful day. And silence as they both got up and waddled to the door. And you know what? I seriously wanted to say to this woman, I said, you know, if you farted, it might be a more rude response.
Yes.
If you farted in her face, that might be ruder than you just were, you entitled bag.
Yeah.
It was just, and so we get that, and so when you see somebody like looking for a bed in a furniture store, like we did yesterday, you chill on the sales guy. That he's got to deal with this all day long, and so I don't know.
I'm with you, and here's
I think that way.
As an example, you know, among my many jobs, I did check groceries, and it's a dreary, horrible job, and you get people that are unpleasant all the
you
time.
You made it fun, though, because you observed so many. Like
I did.
You didn't like the people that would come in with the money in their sock.
Oh, well, that was...
That would gross me
That had
out,
a lot
too.
To do with the neighborhood.
It the was neighborhood, not the best. People that maybe were living in the neighborhood on the street.
Yeah, it's not the
greatest neighborhood. Put their money in their sock.
Yeah, but what I would
about
do...
About that, Dahlia?
To this day.
Sounds yummy, doesn't it? How's
I was
your
like,
breakfast
yeah.
Do you know that a dollar bill will hold odor? That's the thing. Quarters won't, but a dollar bill will.
That's so
I want to trade in my pan, please. Anyway, the thing is that now, to this day, every time I go through a grocery line or something like that, I spy their name tag, and I always say hi to them by name and ask them something pleasant, just to make it a little easier on both sides. And it doesn't kill you.
So in other words, you would walk by and say, hi, Ruby, how are you today? Anybody fart in your face today?
Exactly, exactly. And she said, thank you for coming to Target.
Does it work with all of them?
I would say it's about an 80% success rate. If you ask them a question, if you seem like you're involved when they're just ask them like, easy day today, busy day today. Let them say something to you. It actually makes the experience better on both sides.
You know, I look back at that book written by Tom Brokaw, The Greatest Generation, which were the parents of, in many cases, of us.
Yeah.
The boomers that are down here now and just living their lives that, you know, in many cases have been just ducky forever. And it's a little disconcerting when you have the land of entitlement down here. But I try to keep it a chill pill, especially driving now. I don't even worry about the fact that, you know, as I looked at Carl the other day, I said, they all love the left lane. They love the left lane. They don't want to bother with the middle lane or the right lane. They love the left lane, whether they're turning or not.
No, it's a control
thing. And
they'll
cut you off to get the left lane down.
Control. They want to control the speed of the left lane. They want to be the person in that left lane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, power play.
And if there's an old man that wants something that you're standing near in any kind of shop or grocery store, he will walk into your personal space, put his hands at his buzz sides, and just stare. And just stare at you and breathe. I'm sorry, but there was a little bit of that back in the day from our former colleague.
There was a little more than a little bit.
I know, and it was just hands at the side. But anyway, so Dahlia is here. We're going to have Nikki Diamond on the show today.
Yes, we will.
And, you know, how old is, we asked you this, because you are not only your father's not a boomer, he's out of that boomer era, right? Your father's in his 40s, right?
My dad's 52 or 53.
52.
Okay. So I don't know what that
he's
makes.
He's 8 years. So your dad is 8 years younger than I am. He's okay. Almost. What defines the boomer?
The boomer is the 19. I've heard several things, but it's usually 1946 to 1964 because they have to come back from the war, have sex.
Yeah.
And have a baby. So that starts 1946 because you're adding 9 months.
That's a good pull, Rob. That's an excellent pull.
And then I think it cuts off.
So Dahlia's dad is pretty close to boomer.
So he's 67. Boomerdom.
Okay, which puts him 47. See, he's just on the cusp of it, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the boomers, we should describe them. I'm going to do more research over the weekend and find out. Exactly.
You know what? I would like, let me do this because I've actually prepared and I would have to go back and redo it, which is no big deal. For the bonus show, all of the, you know.
Traits?
No, not all the, well, the traits, but also not just boomers. You got the greatest generation and then Generation X and Generation Y and whatever they are now. And the lines of demarcation, it's fascinating because they tend to line up with pop culture. For example, if you do accept the fact that baby booming ends at 64, which is pretty widely
1964.
Yeah, it's pretty widely accepted. That corresponds with Beatlemania. It corresponds with the shooting of Kennedy because Kennedy was November of 63. So I mean, this is a cultural shift as well as an age shift. And it's fun to draw the parallels historically.
Well, I just think when you've got people that are coming down here from the north and are not full-time residents. And, you know, I consider myself now, you know, I educate my son down here. I am a full-time resident of Florida. That's the way it goes. With a chunk of time that I work from up north. I'm very happy about that. But I am not, by definition, a snowbird. It doesn't count anymore. And I just think that there ought to be a little more pleasantness. These are like people coming down and going to friggin' summer camp that just don't behave.
Right.
And it frustrates me.
It's not a holiday.
I'm trying to keep it in check. I really am because I could do 20 minutes on it every single day. I could do 20 minutes, but I'd rather talk to the youth movement over here.
Did you say your dad was 67?
I think so.
Then he's dead center, baby.
Oh, I thought
boomer.
You said, wait, no, I thought you said 57.
Oh, no, 67.
Okay, so I missed
60. Oh, he's a boomer.
Dead center, 1953 then.
He is, he is prime boomer.
No, my dad is born in 67. He is 53.
Born in 67.
He's out right after.
Oh, no, okay.
So boomers. He's out of the boomer.
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. I got excited. That's how you know you're closer to death.
How are baby boomers?
You notice that?
How are baby boomers? Boomers good with math.
They are. It's fantastic. Well, welcome, Dahlia. And,
thank you.
As we know, and happy birthday, your father who just turned 29.
It's the Michael Mara Show. You can listen to the Michael Mara Show at www.michaelmaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Michael Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I know I'm only 40 pages into your book, but...
Oh, God. Again, Carl is obsessed with me watching this.
What is it?
What's ridiculous? Who am I to make a criticism to someone like you?
It's all right, I can take it.
Well, it's brilliantly written, but then everything you write is brilliant.
Pretty rough stuff.
The swearing, Paul. There, I said it.
Yeah. The profanity bothers you.
It has no nobility.
These are slum kids. I was a slum kid. Everybody talks like that.
They do not? What do you think I say when I go to the feed store in town? Oh, now, Wally, give me a bag of that effing pig feed and 10 pounds of that bitchly cow corn. And in the bank, do I tell Mrs. Bollinger, oh, here's one big bastard of a check. Give me some of your Christing money. There! Look there! See what you made me do! Oh, Paul, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, sometimes I get so worked up. Can you ever forgive me?
It's fine.
I love you, Paul. Your mind, your creativity. That's all I meant.
Oh, yeah. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now,
from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. TMOS to our friends all over the place. Martinsburg, West Virginia. Annie Wilkes.
I watched probably a third of that movie yesterday, finding the clip that I wanted to play today. And when she spills the wine at dinner, you want it's, it's as bad as when Uncle Billy puts the money in the newspaper.
100%.
Oh, horrible.
Detroit, Michigan, Rajasthan, India, Bunky, Louisiana, Hygiene, Colorado, Oyster Bay, Jamaica. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Cornerstone. If your New Year's resolution is to buy a home, listen up. Housing affordability is at a record high, and as of right now, it is actually cheaper to buy a home than it is to rent. Facts. With historically low interest rates and low down payment options, experts say it is currently 30% cheaper to buy a home than throw your money away in rental payments. Furthermore, with a limited inventory, experts are predicting the spring housing market will start this month. Quit wasting your time and your money. You need to work with the experts at Cornerstone First Financial. Whether you want to purchase or refinance it, call my my friend Mark Livingstone and Joanna and all the good people. And Joe Rogers.
Love Joe.
They've got all, and Emily, who works there.
Yes.
With their low rates right now, you can't go wrong. They carry my personal endorsement. I just got a mortgage from them. Mike O'Mara. I'm Mike O'Mara. They treated me right. Did you write that for me?
Mike, it's
I'm
one of
Mike
my
O'Mara, and they treated me right.
It's one of my favorite things to do.
202-626. I'm sorry, 625-1221. That's 202-625-1221. Or check the web at cornerstonefirst.com. Go through our webpage, and we have a link to Cornerstone for you. Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing. Dahlia, how long has it been since we have had you on the program, and what have you been up to?
Probably a couple months. I think my last little moment was when we all had crepes together.
Yeah, was that right about as school was starting, the fall semester?
Roughly? Maybe somewhere in that.
It's been a while. A minute. Well, welcome. A hot minute.
Welcome. And now you, you're, where are you? Because I never keep track of where you guys are in your schooling. Are you in the middle? Are you at the end? Where are you right now?
I'm just right in the middle. I'd like to be a little further along, but alas, I'm in my second semester of my second year.
Okay. So, and you are George Washington, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
You're a colonial. Is that what it is?
Is what it is, but there's a lot of...
So what is your mascot for a colonial? Is it like a three-quartered hat guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the Patriots at George Mason. It's the same type of thing, right?
But Patriots
and
was
we
taken.
We used to play them, and we were Eagles. We were the American University Eagles, and my son's now at Pine Woods Elementary. He is an Eagle.
Okay.
So that's it. And so you're doing well. How's school going? How's life? How's the world?
School's been good. I just finished my first week, so
how was your report card? How was your report card that dropped last semester?
Better than I thought it was going
to
be.
That's a good answer.
Because
did you have any surprises? I used to have big surprises occasionally. Positive surprises at AU. My biggest positive surprise was macroeconomics when I went, oh my God, he must have graded some other test and thought it was mine.
That's
really
tough course.
Were there any pleasant surprises at GW?
I took an econometrics course that kicked my booty last semester, and I'm not sure how I went into it. On the final project, we had to do all of this coding, and I don't know how to code, and I don't really know how to do any of that. So,
for those of you that might not know, I think I know the answer, but explain maybe in a sentence, what is econometrics? It's measurements of the economy. Is that what it is, pretty much?
Or pretty much think about it like an econ and stats crossover class.
Okay. Boy, that sounds fun.
I get it.
I do too.
It's
a lot of
economics and statistics
and
combined, econometrics. Ugh. Get the window open now because I have to jump out. But it sounds complicated and you were worried about it.
Yeah, so I had this project and he's like, hey, you need to use this program. You need to build all these models, test all these numbers. Since I didn't know how to do that, I just explained for my project in a paper what I would have done if I had the technical ability to do it.
That's pretty funny, dude.
That's great.
Was it tinged
with your humor? Did you do that?
There were moments I think he might have enjoyed, but I was expecting to fail this, and he was like, oh, you really have a grasp of the theoretical concepts.
That's using your skills. That's gaming the system and getting it done. That's very smart.
Any news in the world of your fellow classmates? Anything exciting happened in, you know, girlfriends, boyfriends, sisters, brothers? You know, I'm all ears.
Okay, so not quite a girlfriend, boyfriend, sister, or brother, but a dear, dear, I don't even know. He holds his own place in my heart.
That's a nice way to say it.
Yeah.
He holds his own place in your heart, a GW student?
Yes, his name is Johnny Candell.
Oh, intern Johnny.
Intern Johnny, so the friendship Johnny born at Podcast Village,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, we started a podcast together through our school's radio station.
Oh, my God. You and Johnny?
Yes.
That is fantastic.
Mike, did you know that he had such a bad reputation in grammar in when he was in elementary school? They called Johnny Candell Johnny Can't Spell.
Where did you pick that up from?
I was watching him screw something up here at Podcast Village, and I said, is there anything you can do? Well, he said, I can't spell.
Now, the one thing I'll tell you about Johnny, as far as a pure broadcaster, probably not the largest toolbox I've ever seen.
The largest tool.
But he's got an attitude that I found engaging. And
fearless.
I think, fearless, but also kind of almost bordering on a chip on his shoulder, which I think would counterbalance with Dahlia's effervescent personality. That would be, I think, maybe a good combination. Have you guys worked together on it? Have you actually put a demo together, or what's going on?
Yeah, so last semester we recorded 9 episodes, 4 of which were salvageable.
When you say salvageable, why were they salvageable?
So,
what separated them from the other 5?
Johnny is our producer, and so he runs the logistics.
Oh, God.
And so one day, I don't think the mics were turned on or plugged into anything. One day, here's a time frame in which you have to download the material, which was passed without us downloading the material.
Right.
The next day, we were supposed to have someone in the control room, but we didn't want to do that because we wanted to sit at the mics and feel all fancy. So halfway through the show, we got kicked out, and so there's just kind of a fight scene that we couldn't publish.
So you used the GW radio station to record your podcast.
Yes.
I got a text or an email from Johnny when you guys were launching, and he said something like, we recorded an episode, but only my mic was on. How can I salvage this?
How can I fix it?
And I replied,
everything could be fixed in post-production.
And
right?
I replied in a very curt manner. I said, I really don't think you can. Best wishes in the future. Because there's really, when you don't have the sound, there's nothing to restore.
And I think that's episode 2. Awesome. And it's on Spotify, and I don't think you can hear anything that I said.
Okay, one of the things you're going to have to do when you do a podcast, and I don't know whether you guys address this or not, but if you are serious about it, you have to have an outline of what you are doing. And I'm not talking about the nuts and bolts of how the show is done. I'm talking about if somebody, for example, goes, well, what is it, political? What is it, comedy? What is it? How would you best describe?
Yes.
First of all, is there a title? Is there a working title for this?
There is a title. It's called Tapwater Teens. And
wait a minute. Hold on a second. See, this is, Rob, it took a while, right?
Guys,
but here we are. We finally got there, right? Tapwater Teens. In the name of Jesus.
Can you explain it?
Well, when we were coming up.
TWT, Mike.
We were coming up with ideas. We were like, how do we set the expectation out of the gate? This is going to be lukewarm and mediocre at best.
Lowered expectations. I'm all about diminished expectations.
I love it.
That's been, my DJ band was called Crap. And our t-shirt said, it's not just music, it's crap. I live for diminished expectations. That is brilliant to me. Tapwater Teens.
Yes.
That is. And was there anything else besides just diminished expectations that brought you to that title?
It was really just, how do we set that bar pretty low?
Okay. And if you want, give me an outline of you and Johnny. What does somebody have to be looking for to get anything out of your podcast?
Okay. And as an addendum to that question, what roles do each of you serve on the podcast?
These are great questions. I think we're going to have to look into further as this semester goes on, because I tried to listen to the first episode and my brothers listened to it.
Okay.
And they came to me at dinner the next night and they're like, hey, I listened to your show. And I was like, oh, thanks. And they're like, you are floundering. And I was like, oh
no.
They were like, you laugh at every joke, you say yes to everything, you're all, they really just dug into me. And I think I was incredibly honored that they took the time to think about it in the way they did.
That's sweet.
Okay.
Because I would have expected them to be like, oh, I listened to it and then maybe didn't. But it was very useful because I think we went into it and we were like, oh, this will be so fun. We can sit and talk for an hour and weren't too worried about it. And I cast Johnny with all the responsibilities because he was the one that had signed up for the session and I came in later.
Right.
So I think going into this semester, we're going to have to answer some of these questions because as of now, what you need to be looking for is, well, what you need to contain is unconditional love in a blood bond with somebody in the show, probably to enjoy it in its entirety.
Okay, so what you're saying, you know, is that you were supportive, so supportive of your co-host Johnny that perhaps it's the content, the presentation may have suffered a bit.
I think there was a lot of ideas that everything can be, we can edit it into a story rather than just creating some sense of an outline beforehand. So.
One of the foundations of improv is called yes and, that you can always build a scene by replying to someone by saying yes and you build on it. It sounds like you might have yes anded this to death.
Yes,
okay.
I did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Too much agreement.
That does. Have you got a chance to hear anything, Rob?
From, no, I've got it on my to-do list.
Okay. All right. I'm thinking right now because I'm thinking about. I don't know. I know Johnny was on the show a lot less than you were on.
By design.
For a reason. Sorry. Got to be brutally honest.
That's
here,
fine.
But I have
That's
to be
fine.
Brutally.
He was more of a behind the scenes guy.
You have a gift of expression that I also think is better than your co-host. But his attitude is something that, and he's got a sense of humor, right, Rob? He's
and
got
also, I think what he is, he's. The sense of humor might not be his tentpole. His tentpole might be his quirkiness, because he is a little
quirky.
Bit
quirky doesn't always work if it's not founded with a little.
But
humor.
If it's paired with effervescence, it can be quite good.
Yeah,
but it's going to require a little more lifting on your part.
Yeah,
how would you grade your first series of podcasts? You said you put 8 in the can, or 8 that were salvageable, 5 that were salvageable.
There are 4 episodes on Spotify right now.
Oh, you have 4 episodes,
and I think that. It could be enjoyable if you are excited by the prospect of Johnny and I trying something and talking and figuring this out. But I think that it needs, right now, it's definitely something that's more, the interest is coming from people we know and love that are excited we're trying to do something.
Let me
not
give you,
by people that are looking for content.
Let me give you a big rule, the golden rule, okay, of doing podcasts, because I really do believe this.
Yeah.
I think the golden rule is never assuming that the audience is up to speed on what you're talking about.
Right, exactly right.
You come into this, and this is an old radio habit that I got into where, and I did it a lot on the old Don and Mike show because I felt that was kind of my role on that show, was to set the table, and because I still look at it primarily as an audio medium, I'm painting the picture and I'm setting it up. Like, for example, when you mentioned that economics class that you took, where the merger of statistics and economics, that's the type of thing where you're kind of, if we blew by that, like everybody's going to know the answer to that. I don't know if it'd be as interesting as if you explained it a little bit. So I hear a lot of young people do podcasts. Now it sounds like, you young people.
That's not how we did it.
But I hear them like hit the ground running. Hey, it's Kurt Spank. How you doing, man? I'm doing great, man. Yeah. Vicky did it again.
Yeah.
You know, who the I don't want to use the F word.
But understand,
I mean, really?
You can't. It's like a sitcom. A sitcom can have, you know, arcs and things, but if you don't set the table every time, people aren't going to get the jokes. They will get to know you, but you can't assume they know you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We're guilty of it on this show because we have so many listeners that have been with us for a long time that we fail to sometimes to deliver for the people that might just be tuning in. And I always try to be somewhat mindful of that.
Right.
Like, you know, when we talk about a guy like, for example, Pauly Christine, who will be interviewed on the show. Pauly Christine, a Brooklyn bus driver who does promos for the show and loves movies, Kiss, and going to vacations at expensive all-inclusive resorts every third month of the year.
Yeah.
That's Pauly Christine. We're going to have him on the show next week. I just think it's, for purposes of explanation, it's really important to do that. Now, when you get a contemporary topic that everybody's talking about, that might be the issue of the day. That's when, you can dive right in. But other than that, so when I said that to you, I would be curious, your podcast efforts, are they a little too inside, Or do you set the table and go, today we're going to talk about the biggest a-holes on the campus of George Washington University? Or the professor that we know is not trying to teach a course, he's trying to hit on his graduate
students. Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? These are riveting topics that anybody would enjoy, you know?
I think that we had a couple of segments and we tried to work that in. I think it's just, it's a skill and it's something you have to work on. So I think that going forward, as of now, it was a lot of, yo, Johnny, it was very casual,
just throw in there and record and stuff like that.
There's definitely a lot we learned on that, just how to interact with each other.
Did anybody write anything down before you went in there? Did you have any kind of outline?
Yes, we did write things down.
Well,
sometimes.
See, that's good.
Mm. Yes.
Dahlia wrote down the word help.
Look, there it is. Hey. There's my hot little hand. Every day I've got this. And that's it. I don't look at it for most of the show, but it's there. It's like a nice little security blanket.
Yes,
you
love
know,
that.
If I don't have anything to talk about.
But also, it's wonderful. To what Mike says, you can be inside and still be universal. To say, like, when he talks about problems on campus, like the professor that might be hitting on his graduate students, that happens at every university.
Yes.
So you can coach it in such a way that everyone can relate to it, but still be inside. It's just trying to walk the line.
And, then there are things that jump out that you know. And you know this, Dahlia. You knew this by nature, by your nature, by your ability to tell a story, by your ability to recognize something that's going to be entertaining and informative. Every now and then you'll get what I describe as the Birdman factor on a campus, where you find that guy or that gal, that lady that is so weird and so quirky, and then your paths cross with them. And I've been mining that gold for 50 years.
Yes, of course.
It's just amazing. Birdman, a man who was known as Birdman because he tied a bedsheet around his waist and hung out the 8th floor window of Hughes Hall. Not Hughes Hall. It was another hall over in Marist College. Mm-hmm. And he was called Birdman. And your boy here got lucky enough to room with him for two nights before I said, get me the hell out of here. Anyway,
to host a show called The Factor, didn't he?
The Factor, yes. Bill O'Reilly, when I was roommates with him at Marist College before he became a superstar. Now listen, when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, speaking of topics that everybody can relate to, haunting.
Oh.
That's right. I have moved into a new home, and it's a haunting story, part two.
I can't wait.
And this Carla was going to wake me up two nights ago at 1:30 in the morning, chose not to, told me the story last night. Yeah, it's
do you believe in ghosts?
You're going to die down there. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
Haven't changed a bit. Lovely as ever.
Is this Depression era music?
Oh, God. Doesn't mean
it's Depression causing music is what it is.
What's new?
Oh, God, I hate Barry Como. Oh, God,
then maybe you'll enjoy this, Mike.
Yes, okay.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. They got you broke the record. Hours a week just ain't enough.
It was a tough cleanup. Pieces were everywhere.
It's the only record Rob ever broke.
No.
Joke.
Still working on the weight one.
No, you're fine. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Honey.
Honey.
Do you know that honey is sweet, but honey is also a sweet way to save money? Honey is the free online shopping tool that automatically finds the best promo codes and applies them to your card. I used Honey yesterday for my golf shirts, and it took a massive bite out of the shipping and a discount on the products overall.
Like magic.
Thank you.
Like magic.
Thank you,
yes.
Callaway Apparel. There's a Callaway shirt right there. Golf, 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 golf. That's what I do. How does it feel to save with Honey? Saving with Honey is like hitting every green light on your commute, because Honey will surprise you with savings. Savings you're not expecting. Honey makes you feel like a princess living in the kingdom of value.
Well, you won't megs it out of there.
Honey has found over 18 million members, over $2 billion. Did you know that Honey supports over 30,000 stores online, including Macy's, Target, Sephora, Best Buy, and more, and they're adding more every day. Users love Honey. That's why it has over 100,000 five-star reviews on the Google Chrome Store.
Love it.
Using Honey feels pretty great. Think of it as a little daily victory. Plus, it's free to use and installs in just a few seconds. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/TMOS. That's joinhoney.com/TMOS. I will do the haunting, get Nikki Diamond on the phone because we will do the football right after I start talking about my haunting. Are we able to do that?
Yeah, Tony's grabbing him right now. I'll give you a thumbs up when we got him.
So the haunting. I told you the other night that Carla woke up to have the kitchen sink faucet, which is one of those detachable things, bouncing around in the bottom of the sink.
And running.
On.
Running,
and
yeah.
Running, yes. Now, the only thing I could think about with that particular explanation was the detachable faucets sometimes loosen up and they're not snugly sitting in there,
right.
So it might have fallen. And when it fell, because the faucet was open already, it had that same touch effect,
right.
And then it did it like that. But so there's a rational explanation. So Carlos comes to me last night, right before, of course, I was turning in,
sure.
Which is really, really good timing for this. She says, listen, I didn't want to bother you about this at 1:30, but I had a great deal of time, trouble getting back to sleep after this happened. I said, what was it? So Carla said that clearly at 1:30 in the morning, she heard what sounded exactly like a fork bouncing on the tile floor, like from a countertop.
I'll tell you why that is so scary. That is so oddly specific.
Yes.
I mean,
and
it is.
It creeped me out a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, it should creep out. You out.
Yeah, I was just a little, I'm saying. So I woke up this morning at roughly 5 a.m. Went to bed at 9:30 last night, got up at 5. That's my.
You know, your house is being haunted.
That's the schedule of a 90-year-old man.
Your house is being haunted by a dishwasher who was murdered.
Do you know what I keep going back to?
What?
I seriously keep going back to this. I go back to the fact that there's one space, which is the attic over the garage that we have not really even opened yet.
Yes.
And don't you hear those stories occasionally? Like, and we went up there and there was a cot and there was a blanket and there was some, potato chip bags that were there. And someone had actually been living in the house. It's not that. There's no way. It's too small a house.
Just a perfectly preserved Civil War uniform from the Union side.
But I look around now. I look around. And it was Joe Ardinger that saw the Civil War soldier come through the cart rack
actually
WJFK.
True. Mm-hmm, yep.
But anyway, I'll keep you posted on the haunting and we'll find out what happens.
Mike, speaking of haunting, he's haunting our phone line right now.
I think he did really well last week. He'll be able to tell us.
Of course
but,
he will.
I'm sorry that Bermuda Boy is not with us today because Nikki loves to talk to Oscar.
He does.
Hey, Nikki Diamond. I think, am I right when I said, this is my hunch that you did pretty well last week, right?
Let's just say I did perfect, although I don't remember exactly, but when in doubt, lie that you did the best that you possibly could.
Lie like
perfect.
Lie like a dirty dog. Hey, Nikki, you know, we were talking about haunting and the fact that, specters and ghosts and goblins. It's nowhere near Halloween, but have you ever experienced anything that one might describe as supernatural in the Nikki Diamond world? I'm just kind of curious about that.
Well, Merle could tell you about my supernatural abilities, if you know what I'm talking about.
I don't want to hear anything about that,
seven
Nikki.
Seven ghosts in my life, Mike. Seven ghosts. Yes.
Seven. That's
very, very exciting.
I remember them each like it was yesterday.
This is
it's a haunted town. A lot of ghosts, a lot of people haunting this. They get murdered out here in the desert from Vegas. They get in trouble, and then they come back and they haunt you. At Pahrump Valley Wineries, try our American burger.
Oh, back to this.
Really Nikki. Oh, God, he's plugging Pahrump Valley.
Well,
a lot of holes in the desert.
Yeah, but
Nikki.
He kept the job for seven whole days.
Thank you.
Very,
one
very
for each ghost. Good job, Spurlock.
Nikki, would you like to send any wishes out to Oscar Santana, who's on the mend, suffering from the flu today? Anything you'd like to share with him?
I'm sure. Yeah, sick on a Friday. Classic one, Bermuda Boy. done that many times in my day. I call it the old sicky Nikki. Sure, yeah. Oh, Friday. Suddenly Friday, I don't feel well.
There you go. All right, let's get to it. It's time for championship weekend in the NFL,
yes.
Nikki Diamond. I'm excited about this.
The biggest football day of the year. You got it's Sunday. You got two games, not one. That makes it better than the Super Bowl. The cream will rise to the top, I say. We've got the two favorites in the first game. The Chiefs, in 50 years, they never hosted an AFC title game. 2 years with Mahomes starting, back-to-back years. The guy is already a legend, but they're playing the Tennessee Titans. They won at the Dynasty. They won at the MVP, beating New England and Baltimore. They will not go down without a fight. I say they cover the 7.5, but the Chiefs pull it out. A field goal at the buzzer. Kansas City is going back to the Super Bowl, baby.
Who good
will
for
they
them.
Take on? They will take on one of two teams with a storied history at quarterback. The Packers with Bart Starr and Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, the Niners, Steve Young, Joe Montana, and now Jimmy G. He's a beautiful man. Hey, I don't tend to lean that way, but if I were that Jimmy Garoppolo, I'd take a slice of that. You know what I'm talking about, beauty girl?
Bermuda girl!
Bermuda girl. That was for you, Dahlia. He's giving you a little shout-out from Nicky Dyer right there. He is a handsome man, Nicky. I'm going to give you that. Absolutely.
Very handsome. The Niners destroyed Green Bay 2 months ago. Green Bay, they haven't lost since. They will go into 49ers and still lose, not by 30, but they will not cover. The Niners win 34-21, setting up an amazing Super Bowl. San Francisco versus Kansas City in Miami. Be there, baby.
Oh, yeah. I love it. That's awesome. Fantastic, hey, Nicky. Thank you. Yes, do you want to get
love
something
you guys.
For Nicky? Bye.
The Halloween talk right on cue, January. Good
thank
job.
You. Thanks, Nicky Diamond. And all right, so those are the picks. The champions are going to be Kansas City and San Francisco, which I would love to see.
It'd be
I think
a good
that would
Super Bowl.
Be
a
Super great Bowl. Super Bowl. You got a nostalgia corner ready to go? We got a fly right now.
I got a
now.
Great one. I got a great one. You're going
to
love it.
Rob Spiewak, Dahlia, get ready to listen and learn as Rob takes a trip back to the past with the nostalgia hey. Corner when we come back right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
New year, new you, Mike. We know you know love is a battlefield, but what about life?
Uh-huh.
It's why this week on the Oh My Golf Show, we are showing you how to hit your 2020 goals by making a battle board. Plus, we know you like it dirty, but we're going to talk about clean eating and how veganuary can make and change your life. Grab a plate and subscribe now to the Oh My Golf Show on YouTube and Apple Podcast.
Think I'm finally clean.
You
go.
You like her? You like her, Charlie?
I do. I do, Rob.
Glad you're still at the house.
I got a line that I almost said. I'd be in big
you
trouble.
Be
welcome
very
back.
Careful.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Okay, get that out of your brain right
yes,
now.
Yes, please.
Mike's enjoying his own little joke here, and tis the season to get cozy.
Yes.
Cozy, as the Irish would say. Oh, I know what you're doing, Seamus. You're getting good and cozy.
Cozy.
That's what you're doing. Snuggle up in your home. Your furniture should suit your needs, but also feel uniquely you. That's where Joybird comes in. With over 50 fabric and leather options, 3 shades of wood, and over 250 unique silhouettes, do the math. Joybird's got a lot to choose from. The days of settling are over. With Joybird, your personal one-of-a-kind style can match your furniture. Joybird offers a range of kid and pet-friendly upholstery options, plus free fabric swatch kits are available to let you see and touch all the fabrics, and free personal design consultants will help you go from inspiration to creation.
Look at that!
Quality handcrafted furniture and a 365-day home trial. Skip the furniture store and bring the showroom home. Sit on it, sleep on it, break it in. If you don't love your Joybird, return it. Create furniture that matches your own fearless style at joybird.com/TMOS. See how Joybird can help make your dream space a reality today at joybird.com/TMOS. Go to joybird.com/TMOS and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using our code, you know it, you love it, TMOS. And now, Rob Spiewak, it's time for Nostalgia Corner. This is a feature we started in 2019. And, you know, against all of the censors' objections, I've continued it in 2020. And Rob likes to take a trip down memory lane. Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
Mike, if you've ever seen, or Dahlia, also, if you've ever seen The King of Queens, or any Kevin James show, really, or if you've watched The Flintstones or even Roseanne to a certain extent, you're looking at buildings that were built on the foundation of a show called The Honeymooners.
You ever hear of it, Dahlia?
The Honeymooners? Yeah. No.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah?
That's wild, though, right?
The King of Queens is as far back as they go.
So there are people your age that haven't heard of it.
It started as a sketch show on a variety program called The Cavalcade of Stars on a network that's no longer around called the Dumont Network. Originally, there was NBC, CBS, and Dumont. Those are the
I did not even know that. There was a fourth network?
Yeah, I believe it might have become... It had something to do with... It was a New York-based network that got squeezed out because whatever good programming they had, the other networks grabbed. It was called the Dumont Network.
All right,
and they had a show called Cavalcade of Stars. Jackie Gleason was the host.
Sid Caesar, right?
No, Sid Caesar was your show of shows, and that was... I believe that was a CBS show, if I'm not mistaken. Anyhow.
Okay, see, I just don't remember that. All right.
Oh, Dumont predates you. It was what happened is they came in and they stole all the shows from that. William Paley, who was the founder and ran CBS for many years, loved Jackie Gleason. Jackie Gleason was a nightclub performer, very hot in the New York scene. He also made some movies in the 40s. There's a Humphrey Bogart movie that has a very young Jackie Gleason in it. But he was really best suited for television and character work. The Honeymooners was quite popular on Cavalcade of Stars, so CBS brought them over, and they said they're going to make it into a sitcom, not just like a sketch. So they made 39 episodes, and they call them the Classic 39. Now, you will see occasional clips and bits of the old show, but the one that everyone is familiar with, there were 39 half-hour episodes, and here's what blows my mind. There was only one season of The Honeymooners. That means that in one calendar year, less actually, they made all 39 episodes. Wow. Nowadays, sitcoms do like 20, 21 episodes an entire year. But the first episode was from October 1st, 1955. The last was September 22nd, 1956. They did 39 episodes that aired Saturday nights on CBS, either at 8:30 or 8 p.m.
It's stunning for me to realize that a show that had that much influence on American culture, that particular show, and that these reruns are, still watched in
certain
circles today. They only did a year. They did basically, two seasons in a year.
Yeah.
And that was it.
It's been on television ever since. To give you a little bit of background, since you've never heard of it, Dahlia, it was the first U.S. television show to portray like a working class married couple. Their life was not idyllic at all. It was not Father Knows Best. It was not Leave It to Beaver. They lived in a horrible, basically two-room apartment in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. The address, actually, 328 Chauncey Street, if you ever want to visit it. And it had basically one fixed set and was about Ralph Crampton and his wife, Alice. Ralph was, he was sort of a blustery guy.
Will you tell me one thing, please? How do you get us into these fixes?
Very simple. Very simple, Norton. I have a big mouth!
So many great sitcom tropes come from the Honeymooners Foundation, like the loud, blustery, fat guy with the pretty wife. Think King of Queens. That's essentially all it is.
And that's supposed to mean.
I mean, not, Mike, I'm talking about sitcoms. It's all make-believe.
Oh, okay.
It's all make-believe. And he's got a wonderful best friend. His name was Ed Norton. He lived in the building, him and his wife, Trixie. They were the other couple. One of my favorite scenes ever involved, and Ralph and Ed forever, of course, getting into merry mix-ups, because that's what happens on situation comedy.
And the constant, Rob, we would be not doing our job. You're romanticizing it.
Yeah.
If you didn't mention the constant threat of physical
I'm getting to it. I'm actually getting to it.
All right,
One of the greatest scenes ever, and I chose this because I know it's one of Mike's favorites. In order to advance in his job, Ralph was a bus driver like Pauly Christine. He told his boss he knew how to play golf. And so the boss said, let's play golf. And so Ralph and Ed are trying to learn how to play golf by using a book.
The golf swing. First, step up. Plant your feet firmly on the ground and address the ball. Wait a minute. What do they mean by address the ball?
Wait a minute. I think I know what it means there. Plant your feet firmly. Hello, ball.
So great. So episodes were never fully rehearsed. Here's something that Gleason always did, even up to when he was making the Smokey and the Bandit movies. He didn't like to rehearse because he said it took spontaneity away from the performance.
Right.
So one of the things I like to watch, he was forgetting lines all the time.
By the way, Joaquin Phoenix said the same thing on 60 Minutes.
Oh, did he really?
He doesn't like to do that. He doesn't like to, because the magic, if you capture it, you can't recapture it. That's why he doesn't like to rehearse.
There were lots of mistakes made, and a lot of times lines were forgotten, missed, or came out wrong. Watch The Honeymooners. Whenever Jackie Gleason got into a problem remembering his lines, he would put his hand on his stomach. And that was his call to his co-actors, help me out, I don't know where I'm at. So if there's ever like a weird pause during a scene, he'll have his hand on his stomach because he doesn't know where he's at. It's a very fun thing to watch for.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is that I didn't realize this. It was filmed live in Manhattan in front of an audience of 1,000 people. That's a big crowd.
That's huge. That's why the audience soundtracks, didn't they use those soundtracks?
Absolutely.
That audience for other sitcoms,
they always,
right?
They always captured that stuff. And here is the reason that it has... One of the reasons, the material is great, but it has lasted so long. They had a new film system. The best way to capture television in those days, they would actually carry live television and then shoot a motion picture camera on a monitor, actually film a television screen. And it looked horrible. And that's why a lot of the old sitcoms are not rerun. They had something called the Electronicam system that figured out a way to actually project the video image onto film. So those captures is one of the reasons why that and I Love Lucy all look so much better. And that's another reason why it's lasted forever. Why did he quit after one season? Gleason quotes says, "The excellence of the material could not be maintained, and I had too much fondness for the show to cheapen it." He sold all of the films and the negatives to CBS for $1.5 million, which was a fortune at the time. But when you think of how much money CBS has gotten off those 39 pieces of tape since then, it's a pittance.
It's a pittance, but in the day, it was an astonishing amount of money.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And no one got
sell,
any
content.
No one got any money off residuals except for Audrey Meadows, whose brother, she played Alice Cramden. Her brother was a lawyer, and he added one line, penciled in one line to her contract about rebroadcast. Just, he said,
and
you know,
she made millions.
Millions
off
of dollars, and she's the only one who had it. Now,
really?
I close with one
Ralph,
more
clip. There you go, Ralph. Well, that's great having a brother who's an attorney. Yeah.
My favorite clip from the entire run, one of the other tropes that the show essentially invented is the meddling mother-in-law. Ralph hated his mother-in-law. This is an episode in which he goes out of his mind because he gets two really hot tickets to Broadway. There's a mystery on Broadway, and he's going to take Alice to the show. And the mother's coming over. The thing about the show, it's a mystery. And everyone is talking about how the ending is astounding. Now, they have an argument about the mother-in-law coming over, and Alice says, "You can't go 5 minutes without saying something mean to my mother, I bet." So they actually set a clock. They set an alarm clock so he can't talk until the alarm clock goes off. And here he is talking to his mother-in-law.
"And that nonsense about don't tell your friends the surprise ending. Well, it was no surprise to Mrs. Finley. She said she knew all the time that it wasn't the uncle who committed the murder. It was the husband."
The alarm.
"You are a blabbermouth. You blabbermouth. Out. Out.
Out. Kicking his mother-in-law out.
Well, I've had enough.
Out.
I'm going home. Oh,
blabbermouth."
And that is why they call him the Great One. After the 39 episodes aired, he would occasionally bring it back in specials and little highlight deals until 1970 when he and CBS parted ways because he was bringing in a huge audience but an older audience, and they were trying to skew younger. So that's why CBS and Jackie Gleason parted ways. Addressing domestic violence.
Yes.
One of the key aspects of the show is that he was forever getting frustrated and angry at his wife, Alice, and he would say things like, "One of these days, pow, right in the kisser, or I'm going to send you to the moon," or to put it quite simply,
bang, zoom.
He'd pretend like he was going to punch her.
But he never did, and I think that's one of the reasons, although it's probably...
Yeah, that's why Rob really loves the show.
I do. A fat guy with threatening his wife. I think, although the material is probably dicey nowadays, in context and in a historical context, it works, and here's why. It's because at the end of every episode, it's proven to you, Alice is right, Alice is smarter, Alice right. does love him,
yeah, and
there
he was never,
loves
yeah.
Alice.
Right, and he wouldn't touch, he wouldn't lay a hand on her head.
And the traditional, ending.
Well,
of
it
every,
was only later, Rob, that the threat of the domestic violence could be just as bad as the domestic
exactly,
violence.
Exactly. So. But, you know, it was being filmed the whole time.
It's so old, it's such a different time.
I know, it truly is. But it ended very sweetly.
Baby, you're the greatest.
And that, ladies and gentlemen,
and he kisses her.
The Honeymooners. Most episodes are on YouTube. They're available on DVD. It really is the template for the modern sitcom.
And my favorite is Ed Norton. I loved Ed Norton.
And it is one of the few shows that I can watch over and over again that literally will bring me to tears, crying laughter. It is that funny. Love Jackie Gleason.
Very, very funny.
So that's
good.
That's your nostalgia corner, Mike.
Thank you very much, Rob Spiewak. Did you learn something, Dahlia, during that segment?
I learned so much. That was really cool, actually.
It was cool. Yes,
I like
that. She was riveted when you were doing
that. I
love
it.
Will you look at
an episode? Favorites.
Yeah.
Do it.
That's great.
Watch the one called Blabbermouth.
Okay.
One of my favorite nostalgia corners. Well done.
Thank you.
We will come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
This is Al Pacino. I'd like to talk about the TMOS Yak Shack. Are they doing it or not? What's the deal? Come on! What are they doing? I got the number right here, 888-920-6673. Can you deliver on a deadline? Can you deliver on a deadline? Can you do the Yak Shack? And please, for the love of God, tell me what's going on with this de-aging software. I don't know. I don't even know where I am anymore.
He seems well.
To the Mike O'Mara Show. 2020.
Yes.
It's really going to be a sensational year. The WWE Royal Rumble hits your living room on January 26th. Sweet Jesus. Rob Spiewak hits 49 years old, and do I mean old?
Yes.
Top Gun Maverick hits theaters in June. Volleyball, anyone?
Yeah.
And
of the
Summer
bodies.
Olympics, Tokyo. Mark it on your calendar. And 2020 marks the 20th year that Zappos continues to offer 1,000 trusted brand names to help millions of customers create a long-lasting wardrobe they love. And Zappos does it with the absolute best customer service and a selection that is unmatched. No matter what it is, if you wear it, get it at Zappos. We just ask that you support us both by accessing Zappos through the website. Just click the banner. As always, Zappos.com provides fast, free shipping, free and easy returns, 24/7 friendly customer service, and a 365-day return policy. Thank you, Zappos. You make us look good all year long. See you in Tokyo for shot putting and whatnot.
News.
A new survey found that we trust Google and Amazon more than we trust Tom Hanks.
What are they drinking?
The survey was recently conducted by Google and Amazon. No, I'm just kidding, of course. No. The survey asked people if they trusted various people, brands, institutions to do the right thing. It turns out they're most trusting of their primary doctor. That's 50%. The military comes in second at 44%. So we're still idiots when it comes to doctors
and the
military.
I trust my coworkers.
I trust no one.
By the way, you mentioned Tom Hanks. It's already, he got the Oscar nomination, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it started. The stuff that we're not supposed to know is coming from Hanks's people, A viral video I saw, I believe, last weekend, it was just a snapshot, not a video, but apparently people in a convertible were cruising Hollywood Boulevard, obviously tourists. Tom Hanks pulls up, rolls his window down, and says, "Hey, seen any movie stars today?" He seems so nice.
There you go. Yeah, Robin, I don't trust Tom Hanks.
Oh.
That's great.
Fascinating.
We just had a story yesterday that Amazon delivered dirty diapers, and I still trust them more.
Amazon, 39%. Google, 38%. Mr. Hanks is seventh with 34%. Those two companies placed even higher than teachers, the police, Oprah, extreme weather warnings, and labels on food. President Trump was pretty far down the list, 20%, but the government finished even lower with 7%, and Hollywood got 4%. If you limit it to just brands, Amazon and Google are second and third behind the U.S. Post Office.
This is a drunken... They're comparing Hollywood to Amazon to Tom Hanks. This is apples and oranges.
I understand. You can't do it.
You can't do this.
I'm just the messenger.
I know.
NBC announced a bunch of details on their upcoming Peacock streaming service. It'll debut in July, and there will be three pricing tiers. Of course there will.
Yes.
Ranging from free up to $10 per month for ad-free. Peacock will also let people stream NBC's late-night shows 3 hours earlier than their broadcast. Hey, you get Fallon 3 hours earlier for $10 a month.
There was a couple years ago a porno streaming service called Peacock.
Thank you. Oh, Rob Spiewak, behave yourself. Odell Beckham Jr. is a wanted man in New Orleans. Did you see this?
No.
He spanked a security guard during LSU's championship celebration this week. This is a non-story. This is drop the charges. This is a guy that's having fun in a locker room with a security guard. He pats him on the butt. It was nothing that was aggressive at all. Odell went to LSU, so he's celebrating their big win. He went out of his mind. He was great. Clemson is in the locker room, starts getting rowdy. Security came in to try to get the players to stop smoking cigars. That's when Odell thought it'd be funny to slap one of the security guards on the backside. It was nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. He didn't appreciate it, and Odell is looking at a possible simple battery charge. F that guy. This little nerdy guy in a security uniform. And he's like, oh, I'm going to press charge.
Let people have fun, people. Come on, have some fun.
We're a few years past when Netflix and chill was the trend of the moment, but I'm absolutely down with resuscitating it for this, because we love Sean Greenwood and the people at Ben & Jerry's. And Sean said he's going to be stopping by, hopefully next month, to come by.
He might actually, you know, he might hit Florida before he hits D.C.
Oh, that's right. He said he might be down here in Florida. Mm-hmm. Ben & Jerry's just created a new ice cream flavor called Netflix and Chilled. It's peanut butter ice cream with pretzel swirls and pieces of brownie inside.
Did you ever?
How'd you like to put that in a donut? it's on sale now nationwide, and Ben & Jerry's is fantastic. By the way, I said to my wife the other night, and this is a fat man conversation, you know, Ben & Jerry's has never had a real challenger, ever.
Right.
And it's really because big ice cream is just so GD cheap. Yep. Right?
Yeah.
They just can't put big chunks of anything in there because it would cost them money and they don't want to spend that money. Isn't that right?
Well, there, you know, before there was Ben & Jerry's, there was Haagen-Dazs. That was your sort of boutique style ice cream.
That's good ice cream, but it doesn't have the big stuff in it.
And they try it and they always fail. Just, you know what? Open up your purse.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Give us some options. An annual survey by the store Mattress Firm found the average American had 105 bad nights of sleep last year, plus 102 failed naps where you try to fall asleep but you can't. That's about how's that working in your house?
Harry Spiewak still batting 1,000.
That's about 2 a week. There are 6 more stats from the survey. 1, the average person said they only averaged 5.5 hours sleep a night last year. That's a huge drop from 2018 when it was 6 hours and 17 minutes. We'd pay $317 for just one night of perfect sleep.
Really? That seems high. One night. That seems high.
If people like their sleep. On average, we got 120 nights of great sleep, which is defined as falling asleep fast and sleeping through the night. I don't sleep through the night. No, those days are gone for me. It's very frustrating. Winky tink, tink, tink.
Yes.
People are who sleep on their backs were more likely to say they slept great. That's interesting. I sleep on my side. People who let their pets sleep in bed with them slept better than people who didn't. We have Frankie in our bed with us.
We have Linus.
And the most common bedtime rituals we do to fall asleep include reading, watching TV, taking a warm shower, and having sex. And people who use their phone in bed scrolled for an average of 12 and a half minutes before they put it down and got some shut-eye. So I think I'm averaging probably 5.5 to 6 hours of sleep a night.
My ritual didn't make the list, which
What's
is
that?
Arguing.
Arguing. How much sleep did you get last night, Dahlia?
I got about 7 hours.
There you go.
So I think that's pretty good.
That's great. I'd kill for 7 hours.
Very good. And finally, a little something-something. A team of bakers in India broke a Guinness World Record with a cake measuring 17,388 feet long, more than 3 miles. Guinness confirmed the Bakers Association Kerala, or Bake, set up the lengthy dessert on long tables in the streets of
Thrissur, India, Richard Parker. There we go.
The cake was baked Wednesday as part of Thrissur's shopping festival. The record-keeping organization said the cake was long enough to beat the previous record of 10,461 feet. That's and 4.26 inches made by China's Zhangji Bakery Association in 2018.
Zhangji.
This story gives me hope that maybe other developing countries are beginning to focus on the same dumb shit that Americans do. Maybe all is not lost. Yes, sir. Hey, they're doing dumb things too, not just us. We'll take a break and come back with the final audio vault of the week right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Wade Newman. Some say he's a respected leader in education.
Public Information Officer for Loudoun County Public Schools.
Others think he's a beloved sitcom character.
Hello, Newman.
He's not. Wade Newman is a proud resident of Arkansas and a guy who appreciates the finer things in life.
I am quite the driver.
He also appreciates the TMOS bonus show, an extra hour of comedy gold sent your way every week, featuring the unexpurgated hijinks of Mike, Rob, and Oscar.
You guys are just amazing.
Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com and start laughing. It keeps that comedy train chugging and you giggling like a little schoolgirl. Maybe then you can be like Wade Newman, who's also a winner and will soon be sitting in the lap of luxury.
Excited to be the first guest at the new O'Mara Lago.
Congratulations, Wade. People like you really do win on TMOS.
Thank you, Jim Amato. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Cold out there in D.C., eh?
Very windy and cold. Yeah, feels like 10.
Windy and cold. Cold on campus, eh, Dahlia? Right?
Yeah, no, my eyes water when I'm cold, so I just look like I'm crying all the time. So. Yeah.
Thank you. There, see,
my wife says that, too.
Nothing to do. It's 78 degrees in the house. Anyway, I know it's cold and windy right now, but spring is right around the corner.
True.
That means it's not too early to submit your application for the 2020 class of Mike O'Mara's Young Impressionist Camp.
Yeah!
2020 marks the 16th anniversary of this classic tutorial in mimicry, and this year's theme is the Golden Age of Hollywood.
I love how you have a different theme every year, Mike.
Well, that's what the kids want. Students accepted before February 10th can get free admittance into Oscar's TED Talk on The Gingerbread Man and Rob Spiewak's Crash Course on Sidney Greenstreet,
a classic
American film star.
Yes.
The class, as always, will be conducted this summer at the luxurious Marjorie Merriweather Post Pavilion, located within Symphony Woods in the heart of the planned community of Columbia, Maryland. A hot breakfast will be...
What?
A hot breakfast will be provided... A hot breakfast will be provided while supplies last.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the same as last year. Pop-Tarts. Very hot. Yeah, the toasters work. All participants will also receive the Mike O'Mara bonus show. You can get one, too. Just click the banner on our website and you'll get access to all of our bonus content. And you'll be helping TMOS. It's the passport to the assport. The TMOS bonus show. Grab it now and perfect your Claude Rains impression before Independence Day. Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, let's open up the audio vault for today. This is Friday, January 17th, 2020. Take it away, Rob.
I have always, in the back of my head, have the clearest vision of, you know, those silver domed heating vessels they have for breakfast buffets. You up on the stage at Merriweather Post with about 10 of them.
Those are chafing dishes, yes, Rob Spiewak.
But the ones with the big silver domes that
that you lift up and they say, oh, we need more eggs.
Mike O'Mara's signature eggs.
There you go. How was everybody's breakfast? Okay. Here's Robert De Niro. You talking to me? That's it. We'll see you at lunch. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Today is an important day in history, the 100th anniversary. Do you know what the Volstead Act is?
Boy. Oh, God.
You're going to know it the second I say it.
I know. Go ahead.
The Volstead Act is prohibition.
Okay. Yep.
And today is the 100th anniversary of the beginning of prohibition. Prohibition went from today in 1930 to December of 33. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing some of the they did that documentary, Ken Burns documentary on prohibition. And he came up with some statistics that are mind-blowing. Maybe America needed 3 years sober.
By 1830, the average American over 15 years of age drank the equivalent of 88 bottles of whiskey every year. Three times as much as their 21st century descendants drink. Americans spent more money on alcohol each year than the total expenditures of the federal government. Inebriates filled the nation's poorhouses and workhouses and prisons. More and more, people began to worry that the country was becoming a nation of drunkards.
Which is good and bad.
I can't drink and I can't do drugs. What a crummy life.
So think about that before the Civil War, people were drinking 77 bottles of whiskey a year.
Wow, 77 bottles. And they said from 15 on up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's the hard stuff. Whiskey, yeah. All you want.
But anyway, good to know that now, Mike, you and I are free to go buy hard seltzer all right. day long.
Yeah, absolutely. White Claw or whatever the hell.
Do you think that White Claw would have been a big seller in pre-Civil War America?
Oh, not a chance. Not a chance. What's this bubbly crap?
And then they shoot them.
Right.
I want to play this, see how long you go with this one. I love Glenn Campbell, and a snowplow driver in Montana did a parody record. I think it's very earnest, so you may go with it, but let's see how we do. It's for the wintertime.
I am a plow guy for the county.
I knew it would go one of two ways.
So he knew what was going to happen with that one. He starts setting those up, and my fingers like moving right over the sound effect right now.
He's not a good singer, Mike. Not a good singer like the singers that are already planning their summer tours.
I am so excited to announce my touring mates. We got the wonderful group Runaway June, and we have
He is maybe the most powerful voice in country music right now because
right.
of his crossover.
And you're a fan.
And why can't he mic his stupid Instagram videos so it doesn't sound like he's stuck in a well like baby Jessica? Oh, I see what happened.
I am so excited to announce my touring mates. We got the wonderful group Runaway June, and we have Kaylee Hammock coming out this year with us.
All right, These are all people I've never heard of.
I really think it's ridiculous when people can't have a well-mic'd studio. I think that's just completely obnoxious and not fair. What's wrong with people?
You're being silly. Your mic sounds just fine when you use it right.
Well, not as fine as it will.
I know, and that's
so
great.
Be ready.
That's great.
I'm excited about that day coming sooner than later. But, you know, you put somebody to work finding stuff for you and they get sick.
What's more exciting, that or the fact that there is yet another remake of Dr. Dolittle hitting theaters this weekend? Oh,
okay. I have some very strong feelings.
Good.
Robert Downey Jr.
looks bored. He looks so bored in the role.
Potentially one of the dreamboat actors of his time to, you know, completely drug-addled psychopath.
Right.
And then he resurrected his career. And now he's doing the CGI train like every movie he does. And this looks like a piece of garbage.
And
absolute
also,
crap.
You have to know that its source material is horrible. Because if you go back to the original, listen to Rex Harrison, not trying.
If I could walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt and squeak.
But it was so much better than this movie.
Of course, because it had real animals in it.
Yeah, so I'm not excited about it.
You're not going to go see it?
No. F no.
Okay. Maybe just
I might take my kid if he insists. If he finds out about it, I'll take him.
What you do, Mike, is if he says he wants to see Dolittle, say no and sit him down and make him watch a Blu-ray of Chaplin.
Yeah. Well, he'll like the part where he plays with the dinner rolls.
That's very funny. Like that. It's good stuff. All right, exciting. Mike, be careful when you hit those dating apps. Okay?
Okay.
I just want you to be careful. They're keeping your intelligence.
National security officials are warning that dating apps like Tinder could be sharing information with foreign intelligence officers. Said Tinder users, okay, but how tall are they?
That's your magic audio ball. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Dahlia, you were so sweet to come in and join us, and we will be back on Tuesday because we are off for the Martin Luther King commemoration day, the observance of Martin Luther King's birthday. Dahlia, thank you very much for coming in and joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. It's so fun.
Anything you want to say to intern Johnny, your co-host?
And plug your gig.
Oh, yeah, I've got an improv show next week. If anyone wants to go to GW.
I can't hear her at all. All right, got to still run the board right to the end. Right to the end. We're almost there, Rob. So, Dahlia, where is your improv show going to be?
GW's Marvin Center, third floor, Friday the 24th.
Say it again. $3. He finally turned your microphone up. Go ahead. One more time.
Okay. George Washington University, Marvin Center. It's the main student center on the third floor. It's $3 at 10 p.m. on the 24th.
How many seats? How many seats do you have to fill?
We will always have enough seats for anyone who
wants
to.
That's the motto. we should use that for our live show. Always Dana Brock Spiewak. You wanted to say something.
Yeah, I just a text popped up. I didn't realize this. Today, my mother listened to the entire show. So hello, Sharon. Thank you for checking us out.
Hey. Yay.
Hi, Sharon. Love you.
She says
thanks
you're
for your
adorable.
Help with the fruitcakes.
Oh,
remember those fruitcakes you baked? I can't wait to taste them. And you are the, isn't she the creator, the original person
creator,
for the
fruitcakes? Yeah, she's the one who found the tattered recipe that begat our fruitcakes. Absolutely.
It all comes from Mom Sharon. That's fantastic. Have a great weekend. Oscar, feel better. We will be back on Tuesday for Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, Maddie Masiello, Pony Boy, Matt Bloom, and our intern Dahlia for sitting in today. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Ah. Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Thank God it's Friday!
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
You're drinking too much, Your Excellency.
Excellency fiddlesticks. My name's Fred, and I'm just a man, same as you are.
You're not a man, you're a bishop, for God's sakes!
There is no God.
Oh, fudge.